of electronic music. I'm Roger Powell, and during the next few minutes, I'll be telling you about how to use your new ARP Odyssey music synthesizer. For this course to be most effective, you should follow the instructions in the booklet that accompanies this tape. We suggest you hear this tone, stop the tape, and experiment with the synthesizer setup that has just been explained. When you feel that you understand that particular setup, then start the tape again, and we'll talk about the next instrument or sound to be synthesized. You'll notice that the course progresses from the more familiar orchestral sounds through electric instruments, percussion, and finally sound effects. We have carefully selected 30 basic Odyssey patches in these categories to give you a good repertory of sounds. Of course, these 30 patches are by no means exhaustive. You will probably create hundreds of other sounds by experimenting on the Odyssey. The 30 basic patches are meant to be departure points for your own inventiveness. The aim of this course is to get you familiar with the Odyssey's controls and capabilities for live performance or studio use. Any patch can and should be modified during performance. This is an important concept. The Odyssey was specifically designed for fast and smooth transitions during live performance, and you'll realize the full potential of the instrument by reshaping the sound while you're playing the keyboard. Let's get started now with the preliminary tuning patch in your booklet. Nearly all the patches in the course are tuning the two voltage-controlled oscillators as shown in this diagram. While depressing the lowest key on the Odyssey keyboard, adjust VCO1's coarse and fine frequency controls until the oscillator sounds in unison with a piano or organ note one octave below middle C. Then, bring up the audio mixer control for VCO2 and match the pitch to that of VCO1 by adjusting the frequency control sliders on VCO2. Now, stop the tape and tune the oscillators. Now we're ready to begin with patch number one, the trumpet. The most popular way of synthesizing brass instrument sounds is to begin with a sawtooth waveform. For the trumpet, we'll leave the transpose switch at mid-setting for the proper range. The ADSR envelope generator settings are very critical. Listen carefully as you adjust the attack and release controls, making sure that the attack is not too percussive or short, or that it isn't too slow. This is also true of the release control. When you adjust the filter resonance control, be careful. Too much resonance will cause a wow type of sound, uncharacteristic of a trumpet, unless you want to play in the style of Clyde McCoy, who was one of the first trumpet players to use the wah-wah mute. When you're playing the trumpet sound, remember the problem of breath control and phrasing that trumpet players have to think about. Don't play continuously legato on the keyboard. Leave some space between notes. You should also try adding some vibrato by raising the FM control marked LFO sine wave on VCO2. Raise that slider, starting a sustained note. The pitch bend, and sometimes the portamento controls, can also be used to enhance your performance. Patch number two will give you a trombone, bass trombone, or tuba, depending on the register in which you play. For the tuba, try increasing the attack and release times on the ADSR envelope generator very slightly from the diagram. This will help to simulate the slower attack inherent in the larger brass instrument. If you're working on the slide trombone, experiment with the portamento control and pitch bend. Again, be careful not to exaggerate the filter resonance. ¶¶ The French horn, diagrammed in patch number 3, has a softer, less brilliant timbre than either the trumpet or the trombone. This is why the filter frequency control is lowered somewhat. Also notice that the ADSR attack and release is a bit longer than for the trumpet or trombone. Remember to leave some space between individual notes for the most natural effect. Patches number 4 and 5 show two approaches to synthesizing a flute. In the first, patch number 4, you'll see that the setup is similar to those used for the brass instruments, particularly the French horn, except that the keyboard has a greater control on the filter. More keyboard control of the filter is necessary because the flute sound would become very dull and muddy if the filter didn't open up and allow the higher harmonics to pass as the pitch got higher. Another important key to synthesizing a good flute sound is to cause the filter to waver or flutter by applying the LFO sine wave to a filter control input. This is different from the trumpet vibrato, which is actually a wavering of the pitch, going slightly sharp and flat at a regular rate. In the case of the flute player, his diaphragm can produce fluctuations in the air column which cause changes in the harmonics. Hence, we're concerned with modulating the filter rather than the oscillator. Flute number 2, patch 5, the tone is generated by VCO2, which is phase synchronized from VCO1. Note the position of the phase sync switch on VCO2. By applying the LFO sine wave and ADSR envelope generator controls to FM inputs on VCO2, we can alter the harmonic structure of the basic sawtooth wave. Try changing the levels of these two FM controls on VCO2 for different effects. With the clarinet, in patch number 6, we begin to study the reed instruments. Unlike the brass family, the reed instruments use the square or pulse waveform as the basic sound source. Because it is made up of only the odd-numbered harmonics, the square wave has a hollow quality and sounds very clarinet-like even without filtering. By using the Odyssey filter, we can process the raw square wave in two ways. First, we'll soften the brilliance somewhat by filtering out the extremely high harmonics. Second, we'll add some resonance, which will give the sound a woody character. This clarinet patch is useful in all three ranges of the transpose switch. Notice particularly the rich bass clarinet sound you get in the mid to low range. Vibrato and portamento are both very difficult on an actual clarinet. With the Odyssey, they're a simple matter and contribute greatly to the overall effect. For the English horn, in patch number 7, we use a narrow pulse wave. This waveform is achieved by changing the pulse width control slider on VCO2 until a nasal quality is found. The English horn has a highly resonant peak in its sound, which we get by increasing the amount of filter resonance. A small amount of continuous vibrato will give the sound some warmth. And again, the pitch bend and portamento effects are useful for certain musical styles. Of all the reed instruments, the saxophone is perhaps the hardest to synthesize. This is because of two things. As the saxophone changes registers, the actual harmonic content or timbre of the horn changes as well. And the saxophone is such a flexible and responsive instrument that every player tends to develop his own characteristic style. The sax can sound very smooth and legato one moment, and then become very biting and raspy the next. In patch number 8, we have a saxophone sound somewhere in the middle of these two extremes. The key to authentic saxophone sound is pulse width modulation. In this example, the ADSR envelope generator is used to vary the pulse width during the attack and decay of each note. This pulse width modulation produces the buzzy sound and set into vibration. Use plenty of vibrato, and don't forget about wind instrument breath limitations and spacing of notes. The voltage-controlled pulse-width feature on your Odyssey can also create a string chorus effect, as shown in patch number 9. Although you normally tune the two VCOs to unison, it will enhance the chorus effect of multiple violins or cellos to detune the violin on one of the oscillators slightly sharp. This detuning will cause beats to occur, as happens naturally when two violins are sounding the same note but are not precisely in tune with each other. The position of the VCF frequency control is critical and should be tuned carefully. If the filter frequency is set too low, the strings will sound dull. If it is too high, they will appear to be too bright. Since string instrument bodies are very resonant, we'll choose a relatively high degree of filter resonance. The vibrato rate adjusted at the LFO frequency slider should also be set carefully. Remember that you're after the chorus effect of many strings. You're trying to create as many beats as possible without adversely affecting the intonation. The AR envelope controls should be placed at the position which gives you the most pleasing attack and decay rates for the type of music you're playing. If the tempo is fairly slow, increase the attack release times for more legato playing. You'll find that a slight amount of portamento will enhance the realism of the sound by simulating the effect of the violin or cello fretless fingerboard. Increase the amount of portamento for longer glissandos. The string patch is useful in all three registers where the notes fall into the natural range of the cello or violin. For the sound of a single instrument, just pull down the audio mixer attenuator for VCO1, and you're left with only the sound of VCO2. Non-amplified, traditional instrument that will synthesize is the banjo in patch number 10. In this patch, VCO2 supplies a narrow pulse wave to the resonant filter. The ADSR envelope generator produces a short, plucked type of attack and decay. If you move the first slide switch beneath the ADSR controls to the keyboard gate position, you'll be able to play single notes from the keyboard. Move the switch down to LFO repeat, and you'll get a steady reiteration of notes while you hold a key down. You can adjust the repeat rate at the LFO frequency slider. Exploration of begins with the electric bass in patch number 11. We'll use a narrow pulse wave from VCO2 with the transpose switch in the lower position. To simulate what happens when the bass string is, modulate the pulse width of VCO2 with the ADSR envelope generator. In the diagram, the envelope generator settings are adjusted for a slightly plucked sound with a medium length release. If you wish to change the envelope, try moving the decay and release controls. Increasing them will cause less percussive, more sustained notes. Decreasing them will provide pizzicato-type effects. You can also try changing the manual pulse width control on VCO2. If you bring the pulse width slider down, the pulse width will widen and the sound will become fatter. Going in the other direction produces a thinner sound, like an electric bass player using a pick close to the bridge of the strings. Patch number 12, we begin to create what you might call fantasy instruments. These are sounds for which there are no traditional equivalents. They're sounds which can only be made on the synthesizer. Several of them can only be made on the Odyssey because of its unique phase synchronized oscillator capability. Patch number 12 also uses the pedal supplied with your Odyssey. By moving the pedal up and down, you can scan the harmonic spectrum of the sound without changing the pitch of the note you're playing. Experiment with the ADSR envelope generator controls. We've set them to simulate the effect of an over-amplified guitar. This is a general-purpose solo voice patch and can be modified freely. Patch number 13 is similar to the previous patch, except that the changes in the phase synced oscillator will happen at random, controlled by the sample and hold circuit. Each time you depress a key, even if it's the same key you just played, the timbre will change. The amount of timbre change can be regulated by increasing or decreasing the sample and hold attenuator on VCO2. We have also lagged the output from the sample and hold circuit so that the fluctuations in timbre will occur in a fluid manner after each key is depressed. Decreasing the lag control will cause the timbre changes to happen more instantaneously. Call patch number 14 a guitar through a Leslie because the rotating speaker effect is created by changing the phase synced oscillator with the LFO sine wave. Also, you'll note that the VCF is being controlled by both the ADSR envelope generator and the sample and hold circuit. Hold control signal will cause slight random variations in the timbre with each new note. Thank you. For the electric harpsichord, in patch number 15, we're using narrow pulse waves from VCO 1 and 2. Since the harpsichord has a rather bright sound, the VCF frequency control should be set at a high level, so that it filters out only the uppermost harmonics. Additionally, the resonance slider needs to be placed fairly high to provide the necessary peaks in the tone color. The envelope generator is programmed to produce a short, almost plucked attack and decay. You should lengthen the final release time if you want an undamped effect, and decrease the release time for a muted sound. Patch number 16 is called a fuzz organ sound. What we mean is an organ played through a blown speaker cone. This produces a type of distortion which can sound very pleasing and is useful for lead solo lines. We achieve this distortion electronically by use of the ring modulator. Whenever you play two different notes simultaneously on the keyboard, you're selecting two frequencies to be fed into the ring modulator from VCO 1 and when these two frequencies meet in the modulator, new frequencies called sidebands are produced, which have harmonics equal to the sum and difference of the frequencies of VCO 1 and VCO 2. Musically speaking, the output from the modulator is the pure distortion between VCO 1 and VCO 2. So, if you mix a little of the ring modulated sound in with the straight, unmodulated signals from VCO 1 and VCO 2, you'll get the fuzz distortion effect without having to blow out a good speaker. Here again, experiment with other settings for the ADSR envelope generator and voltage-controlled filter if you like. Vibrato may also be desirable, and you should become skilled at moving the LFO sine wave input sliders on both VCO1 and VCO2 simultaneously. Patch number 17 is really an extension of the previous patch with foot pedal filter control added for wah-wah effects. We've also narrowed the pulse waves for a more string-like timbre. This sound is particularly effective in the low transpose range. Shows how to come close to the popular Jimmy Smith jazz organ sound. We use a fairly heavy and fast vibrato on VCO 1 and 2, as well as modulating their pulse widths by the LFO sine wave for the Leslie speaker effect. A high degree of filter resonance with a percussive envelope gives the proper harmonic sound. You'll also notice that we're using the ring modulator. This will provide a small amount of electronic distortion whenever you play two notes simultaneously. In the next few patches, we'll explore some synthesizer effects voices. Sounds which are indigenous to the synthesizer and are impossible or very difficult to produce on any other instrument. The first of these is patch number 19, the trill phase with long envelope. This title describes much of what is going on in the Odyssey. VCO1 is being made to trill between two notes at an interval you regulate by adjusting the LFO square wave input to VCO1. As shown in patch 19, VCO1 will produce roughly a musical fifth trill. The speed or rate of the trill can be adjusted with the LFO frequency slider. At the same time that this trilling is happening, the LFO sine wave is modulating the pulse width of VCO1, producing a pleasing effect. The pulse width of VCO2 is being changed by the ADSR envelope generator, which is set to provide very long, sustained envelopes. It is a very rich, undulating, spacey sound, very useful in the high register on slow melodic passages. Patch number 20 shows a way to use the filter and sample and hold circuit to produce a shifting harmonic texture. We suggest that you tune VCO2 a musical fifth higher than VCO1. This tuning is particularly rich in harmonics and overtones. By using the sample and hold circuit to control the VCF frequency, you'll hear a continually shifting overtone series as long as you hold down a key. The rate of changes is set by the LFO frequency slider. Try increasing the sample and hold control signal going into the filter by raising the yellow slider labeled sample and hold. Raising this slider will produce a wider range of harmonic change. This patch is useful as a harmonic and rhythmic background texture. In patch number 21, the combination of the noise generator, voltage-controlled filter, and keyboard allows you to play the noise. Passing white noise through the VCF with high resonance filters all the frequencies, except for a very narrow band, which gives sound. In patch number 21, the voltage-controlled filter frequency is controlled by the keyboard so that a musical scale can be played. The ADSR envelope generator controls have been adjusted for a sharp attack and a moderate release time. You can change these controls freely to get the exact effect you want. With patch number 22, we begin looking at percussion sounds. This bass drum patch creates a heartbeat or thumping sound. Mix together the pink noise and VCO2 in the low transpose range. The VCF resonance has been set fairly high to produce the characteristic ring that occurs after the drum is struck. The bass drum sound is best used when combined with other drum sounds, either live with a real drummer or synthesizer player, or on multi-track tape with other instruments. Patch number 23 is called the snare drum equivalent. This is a sound that performs the same musical function as a snare drum without being a direct simulation of a snare drum, working with a mixture of two sound sources, the pink noise generator and VCO2. Both of the VCF, whose frequency stays fixed, notice the absence of any control signals at the filter inputs. The interesting thing about this patch is that we are frequency modulating VCO2 by VCO1 to produce a metallic ringing present in a true snare drum sound. Normally, you'd use the ring modulator for this metallic timbre, but we need the noise generator at the same time for this patch. The switch arrangement selecting inputs to the audio mixer precludes using both the noise generator and ring modulator simultaneously. So we'll simulate the ring modulator sound by feeding VCO1 into an FM input on VCO2. This is done in a roundabout fashion. If you disconnect the pedal from the back of the Odyssey, the output of the sample and hold mixer will appear at the input of VCO2, labeled sample and hold mixer or pedal. In patch 23, the square wave output from VCO1 is passed through the sample and hold mixer and then into the FM input on VCO2. Adjust the frequency slider of VCO1 for the desired metallic timbre. The settings in the diagram are only approximate. To keep a constant sound, select and play only one key. Changing notes will cause variances in the sound which you may not want for the snare drum equivalent. Patch number 24 shows how to create a conga drum equivalent. When the resonance control on the VCF, the filter oscillates and produces a tone. This tone is used as a source for the conga drum sound. We suggest that you pick out two notes on the keyboard which give you the most authentic sounds for a high and low pitch drum. Notice that a slight amount of ADSR control on the filter frequency simulates the change in pitch that occurs as the conga drum head stretches on the initial impact and then recovers to its original tautness. Patch number 25, the cymbal equivalent, again uses VCO1 to modulate VCO2 via the sample and hold mixer with pedal removed. The modulated VCO2 is mixed with white noise and passed through the VCF. Be careful to set the filter frequency slider at the point which produces the desired amount of brilliance. It should not produce a whistling sound. If it does, the resonance control is set too high and the frequency control is set too low. The ADSR release time adjusts the length of the cymbal crash. Except for the amount of force used, play the keyboard in the same manner that you would strike a cymbal, just a quick tap, and then listen to the dying away of the crash. In patch number 26, we'll need to deviate from the original oscillator tuning to get the most realistic gong or chime sound. The key to the gong sound is the ring modulator. Depending on the tuning ratio between VCO1 and VCO2, the modulator will create anything from a tiny bell to a large chime or gong. While testing notes on the keyboard, change the tuning of either or both VCOs until you're happy with the modulator output. If you're working on a gong sound, we suggest that you add a small amount of slow sine wave modulation to both VCO2 and the VCF. This will help to create the slowly undulating effect that might happen if you were hitting a large gong. The ADSR release control is very important, and in most cases should be left at maximum setting to simulate the chime's naturally long resonant decay. Patch number 27 shows a repeating percussion effect created by noise, the VCF, and the sample and hold circuit. The low-frequency oscillator triggers the ADSR envelope generator at a steady repetitive rate. Each time the envelope generator is triggered, the sample and hold circuit sends a new control voltage into the filter to change its frequency. In this patch, experiment with the inputs to the sample and hold mixer for producing different rhythmic patterns and variations. First sound effect that we'll synthesize is the train, shown in patch number 28. The chief sound source is the pink noise generator. The sawtooth waves from VCO 1 and 2 can be added occasionally for a horn effect. For the rhythmic rail effect, we apply the sample and hold output to the VCF control input. This will cause slight random variations in the filter frequency. Manually raise the filter frequency slider for a brighter out-of-tunnel sound, or lower it for a dull in-the-tunnel effect. Raising the audio mixer sliders for VCO 1 and 2 will produce a distant horn sound. Siren, our next synthesized sound effect, patch number 29, uses the sawtooth wave from VCO2 as the sound source. The ADSR envelope generator controls the pitch of VCO2 to create the rising wail of a siren. The ADSR also controls the filter frequency to increase the brilliance of the sound as the pitch reaches its maximum level. We've also added a small amount of LFO sine wave modulation to the filter at a fast rate. A slight burr or flutter to the sound that enhances the realism of a screaming siren. As it is diagrammed in patch number 29, the best effect will be achieved by playing the second C from the left end of the keyboard. Surf is the subject of the final patch number 30. Naturally, we'll start off with the pink noise generator passed through the VCF. The ADSR envelope generator controls the filter, causing a slow rise and fall of the filter frequency to create the effect of advancing and receding surf on the shore. The high-pass filter helps to cut out some of the roar of the pink noise sound. Notice that the VCA is left open somewhat. In this way, there will always be some background surf sound. When you play a key, the sound will become more present and then recede to its original level after you release the key. That concludes our study of 30 basic Odyssey performance patches. I hope that you gain enough knowledge and experience through repeated listenings of this tape and practicing the sounds on your own Odyssey to be able to explore the thousand sounds still waiting to be discovered. For every sound I've demonstrated here, there are 100 others which you will discover on your own. The Odyssey is designed to be a creative tool so that each of us musicians can develop a sound that is uniquely ours. With a little practice, some imagination, you'll be able to perform like you never dreamed possible. Just let your imagination go. and the Odyssey will take you on the ultimate musical trip.